I'm only doing this because I don't do this usually. So. I also wanted to say, there was a comment about me wearing a tie again.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that, so I'll tell you in a minute. God bless you.
Father God, we just thank you for your amazing love for us, Lord. Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit be here this morning and touch us in every one of us. We ask that you give a message to Melton, Lord, that we need to hear, Lord. We just love him, we praise you in every way, Lord. Amen.
I just want to say, I remember when Ronnie was petrified. Right. But more and more, right? More and more. You stepped out in faith, you stepped out in faith, and look at you now. You just, without even being asked, you just gets up there and does it. It's awesome.
Reggie, you were here last Sunday, but boy, we had some audience participation, huh?
Cool. Wow.
You had a lot.
I heard of it.
Yeah, yeah, some people got put on the spot, and some people put themselves on the spot.
Yeah, good. So I was going to tell you, can I?
Oh, the tie.
You can hear me, right? The tie, yeah. I love the shirt. This is my favorite shirt. But it's old. It's really frayed up here on the collar. And of course, I put it on, and Kathy looks at me with that look of hers. And I knew that I wasn't going to get away with wearing this shirt.
You were the one who mentioned it first.
No, I'm building it. I'm building something here. So I had asked. So I had asked Kathy if there was a blue marker around. I was going to shade in the white so you couldn't see it, you know. And she goes, what do you need that for? And I told her, and she goes, oh, wow. So I got the impression, anyway, that I wasn't supposed to wear that shirt like that. So she said, you know, you could wear it if you closed up the collar.
Yeah.
It wouldn't show. Just wear a tie. So I went, oh. Okay, so I tried it, nobody can see the frayed collar thing. Now you can really look, but you won't find it.
I just want to say, in my grandmother and my great grandmother's day, they would have turned the collar.
Yeah.
The collar would have gone the bad side down and the good side up,
oh, really?
And they would have sewed it back together.
No kidding.
Yes. So, but of course, we're lazy in our day, and we wouldn't even know how to do that, right?
Yeah. Malcolm, I'm like you. I take magic markers.
Well, what I want to do for the message that I felt the Lord wanted us to talk about, and when I was sitting there and we were worshiping and different themes were coming across, and and I thought, well, this is going to be different. I don't know how, but it's going to be. And then the Lord said, told me to sit down. So maybe he means back there. Maybe there's going to be quite a bit more participation here this morning. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like we can just lock into certain things or think that doing something a certain way is the way that it has to be done, you know. When we step out in faith, this was good, you know, that Louise got up. And when we step out in faith, lots of times I think we think that it has to match the way somebody else does something. I think all of us hopefully are seeing that God wants to stretch us, because he can use us if we're willing to be malleable, willing to go out beyond into that uncomfortable place that we're not so familiar with. It's something that as the days go along, more and more people are going to be needed to be able to step out. and speak the word of the Lord, and or to minister or to give a testimony. And there's a thing that he is doing within the body, and I was encouraged last week too, because there was lots of participation, and that was, to me, that's a fantastic thing, because it is body ministry. It isn't just, you know, relying on one person or two people to do the service. You know, there's ministry that's there by people. They're called to lead. They're called to preach. They're called to do these different things. But the whole body, as all the joints supply, the body is built up. This is really important. This isn't happening in lots of places. Do you understand this? You and I, in this body, have an opportunity to allow for the growth of the body so that it's edified and built up in love with one another. This is how the body grows. This is how we mature. It's not done just by listening to one person preach. That person has a ministry and it's needed, but everybody else in the body of Christ, in the local bodies, are needed and needed for even if we say, I say something and you agree with it in your mind and your heart and you go, amen. Even to that little thing is a big thing. Because you, if you're really saying amen, and it's not just a Bible word, it's not just a churchy word, but if you're saying amen, so be it, and you're really giving assent to that, it produces a spiritual power, a spiritual energy that now can break through places that normally the enemy has some kind of control over. Now, don't think that the enemy can't come into this room, because he can. This is God's house. But this is really why this place becomes this place, is because all of us are the temple of the living God. Right? So we bring the Lord every place we go. But there is always something, some spirit that's looking to distract you. You could be worshiping God and get distracted. Well, why is that? Your heart and your intent is in the right place, but the enemy knows how to blow his wind of distraction in on us. Or other things. Now, I want to talk about the storm that we had last week. Well, actually, a week ago this evening, in the evening, it would be a whole week ago. What a storm. Windy, rainy, very destructive. On our property, we had some big trees fall over. Had an apple tree fall over by the roots. Uprooted. Right? And this week, at one point this week, I thought to myself, I was up at the college, and did you see all those trees that had gotten uprooted at the college? And when we were passing by there, I thought to myself, wow, what a message this could be. And then I forgot all about it for the rest of the week. But this is what I want to talk about. I hope that the Lord just mixes a lot of things in here with this. But I thought, you know, those trees, and the trees on my property, or maybe on your property, those trees have gone through quite other storms. What caused them to be uprooted this time? I mean, we've had some pretty strong windstorms up there in Gorham Hill where we live. What was it this time? You know, and you think about what that might mean for us. And the Lord spoke to me and said, that this is a picture that he wants us to get. It's kind of a warning. If we're not being concerned about our walk with God, but it also can be an encouragement if we are those that not only listen to what he has to say, but are applying it, doing his words. Yeah? And it seems to me that that storm, what God is going to use that storm for us to get a picture of something. What can happen when the storms of life come our way and our root system in Christ isn't as deep as it needs to be? Because that's what the message is about. It's about being rooted and grounded in Christ. Now, what was it about that gigantic, we had this gigantic evergreen tree that was alive, it wasn't dead, and it fell over, it got uprooted, right by the roots, you know, the whole thing popped, dropped over. Now, why would that storm have done it? And I was thinking about that. Why?
The roots were saturated.
So what had happened, apparently that the roots of that those particular trees weren't deep enough. I expect. Now it was deep enough for other storms. Please make the application in your life so I don't have to. Right? Some storms of life, our roots are okay. How far we've been gone in Christ, how much we depend on Jesus, how much we cry out to Him, how much that we really are listening to Him and doing what He's telling us to do. When the storms of life come, we're because we're rooted and grounded, we're okay. But you know, I thought, well, it was blowing harder than I can remember. So maybe it was the force of the storm. The intensity of the storm. The other thing I thought of was, what about the maybe the direction of the wind? You know, the enemy knows us pretty good. He knows our weaknesses, doesn't he? He knows those weak areas. He knows that if he blows in one direction and our root system is the way it is, it's not going to knock it over. But what if he comes from a different angle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just get the reassurance, same thing I was thinking. Usually our trees all grow to the east. That's where the first sun comes up.
Yeah.
So the roots on the west are always stronger.
Yeah.
And so when you get a wind that comes from the east, there's nothing there to protect it going the other way. So they came from where it's not expected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so and because those roots weren't deep enough, if they would have been deeper, those trees probably still would have been able to hold up in that little bit stronger wind. You know? But to me, this was a picture for me about life and about, again, the readiness. You know, the storm can produce deeper roots. The tree can go deeper, but if the tree doesn't deepen its roots after storms, where it's really pressed upon, then the next time it gets really even worse, it's going to fall over. Now we're going to read some scripture that deals with all this kind of stuff. And I want us to understand, we've got to see this in the reality of our lives. This isn't just a cute little Bible story. It isn't just a parable that Jesus uses that has no connection with our life. No, it has a lot of connection with our life. And if you want to weather the storms of this life, then you want to listen. I want to be able to listen to this and grow and learn thereby and cry out to God that the roots that I have in Christ are going to go deeper than they are. Because the storms of this life, anything that can be shaken will be shaken. And we do receive a kingdom that can be shaken, and that's where I want to make sure I'm investing. Because right now, if things are going okay in your life, you can intellectually assent to what I'm saying. You can say, well, yeah, yes, I need to allow myself to grow in Christ, and you know, at some time I might need it. But when that day happens, and our roots aren't deeper than what they are right now, we're going to wish that they were. Or we're going to be so caught up in the storm and so destroyed by that storm, we're not even going to be thinking about God or what I should have done. We're just going to be swept away in what comes along. So here we go.
Well, this is crazy, Malcolm, but
yeah, go ahead.
Yes, this is, I don't know how many times when Jen and I are on our way up to church, and I've told you this before.
Yeah.
Something that we'll talk about
will come up.
Will come up at church, and all the way up this morning we were talking about how different trees weather different storms and how deep and shallow roots are buried, and it's crazy.
Yeah, this is what the message is on. Let's see if there is there anything about you guys that know more about trees than I certainly do. What anything more that we can learn out of the nature picture of what has happened that could give us some insight about how we need to look at our life and the deepening of roots and all of that. I'll start with you, Fred, if you have something more you want to say about it, and then Steve had his hand up.
Normally your hardwood trees like your maples and stuff like that are deeply rooted, and softwoods, pines are usually
the pines are.
They grow in a sandy environment. The roots are usually not as
deep. So they're not as deep. Okay. Well, we don't want to be pine trees here.
There's a chorus that I've always, like, I can't really sing it because I don't believe it. I think I know what it's talking about, but the one about, you know, the trees planted by the water, I shall not be moved.
Yeah.
Well, I've got 120 acres of land. A lot of it is wet. And as Fred was saying, softwoods have a tendency to, especially in that area, they spread out instead of down.
Oh, yeah.
And when we built our house up on Chippewa Road, I cleared an acre of land, and we got a wicked west wind that cleared another acre for it. Because it was all... But the roots are just surface.
Yeah.
Now I've got, in fact, actually Jason came up one time because I want to get rid of my soft maples along the brook that are planted by the water that end up in the brook. So I like to get them before I have to go in the brook to get them. But anyway, you know, they've got all kinds of nutrients and water, but eventually they also get to a point where they start rotting. And it's the same thing with softwoods up on the Baster Hill. They get, well, especially fir, they'll start to rot. So we get to a certain level and they rot. So you have to harvest them before they get to that point, otherwise they're chips. So I have a lot of issues with softwood trees falling over when I don't want them to because they aren't rooted.
One thing I was thinking of when Diane had said about the water, too, is a lot of times, like in this storm, we got so much rain, and the earth was so saturated that I wonder if maybe the roots weren't so surrounded by water that it weakened the tree.
Yeah.
And it was easier, like yours, you said, it grew old, and all the roots came up.
Yeah.
So it's like, is our faith getting watered down? So when we hit a storm, are we ready?
Oh, excellent. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, Beth?
Maybe the Lord's trying to tell us we're not deeply rooted enough in Him.
Yeah.
And we need to work on that.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think that He's encouraging us because we've really grown as a body. We really have. Mm-hmm. But not to be satisfied that, hey, we've arrived. No, there's some deeper, there's deeper roots that can happen, and I think He wants to encourage us not to get self-satisfied with the advances that we've made in the Lord. Diane, did you?
We have a pine tree out back of the house that has been there since my grandfather, I think, was 10 years old and planted it, and he was born in 1888, and that pine tree has just gone through everything. It's on sandier ground because our house is built on sand.
Yeah.
But that tree has sustained, what would that be? I mean, in 1898 it was planted, and we're now in 2017. I mean, that pine tree waves, and it gives shade, and if it ever fell, our whole house would be squashed. And yet, it stays. So we learn from that, too, that in all those years, that tree has stabilized itself and become strong through all the winds, all the, you know, so that's something, when I look out my window and I see that tree, it means something to me.
Yeah.
Special.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure this out, so I'm hoping it comes out right, but there was something else Fred said on the way out, because I said, wow, that's weird, because there was someone offering to help clear trees, and because he wanted the wood from it.
Mm.
You know, so he wanted to help, but he also wanted the wood to heat his home. I said, but why would he want a pine tree to warm his house? Like, wouldn't it clog the chimney or whatever? He goes, no, because pine, softwood, burns hot and burns fast.
So you mix it with hardwood.
Right. So it makes me, so I'm just praying through this, trying to figure out, okay, well, if that burns hot and fast, that's like the quick solution. You know what I mean? How many of us just quick, like, okay, let's do a quick Bible study, or we, you know, we feel like we touch the surface, but we don't dig deep enough to get that hardwood that lasts a long time when it burns.
Yes.
That is that strong, that,
that's a good point, too. Go ahead, John.
At Tushby, when Diane talked about her tree, is it a maple or?
Pine.
Pine, the white pine. And, but I have been thinking about this storm and all of the storms that God has been sending this country. Mm-hmm. I mean, He's really trying to tell us something.
Get our attention.
Yes. And to me, the ground became so saturated with water that unless those trees were really
deeper,
you know, their roots were deep, it was going over. And I associated that with all the, I'd say this word, but crap in this country that is being fed to us all the time. And with a lot of people are getting, it's okay. All of this stuff is okay. It's okay to do. It's all right. It's okay.
It's saturated.
It's not okay.
Saturated, watered down, like some
point. It's saturating and us.
Yeah.
And all of the people in this country with that kind of stuff.
See, these are things we can learn from the story.
You know, keep pushing it away.
Right.
Are you going to, you know, are you going to fall to that stuff? No, I'm not, but a lot of people do.
I think about the forest as a whole. If you look at most of the trees that came down, they were on the outskirts. And I think of the ones that were in, surrounded by other trees, were protected. So when you talk about faith, I kind of say the same thing when it comes to comes to the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Is the more people that surround you in the same way, when the storms come, your other trees, your other people around you that are surrounding you there to support you, break down some of the wind. So the wind, when the wind comes, it's getting diversified, right? It's getting spread out versus all the impact coming, right? Yeah. Those ones in the front line are the ones that are going to get hit the worst. So the ones that are all by themselves, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So if it's a tree by itself out in the middle of the land, more than likely that tree's going to take much more of a hit, probably go over more than the one that's deep in the forest, in the middle of the forest.
Right.
So I think in a spiritual sense, it's the same thing with who you're surrounding yourself with.
Isn't this great, the insight that we can get out of a storm? I mean, this is great, Gary.
I was thinking that you could have two trees right next to each other, similar in size, and one will blow over, and the other will be left standing. And what I was thinking is that there could have been, just like, speaking like for as a people, some erosion that had been done through time on one particular tree, some damage done that weakens it.
Yeah.
Just like stuff in our lives that would weaken us.
Yeah.
So roots, same similar trees, are just as deep, yet one hasn't been damaged by the stuff that we do in our life,
uh-huh.
Where the other one probably
was.
And made it weak.
Yeah.
So when a storm blew, and one made it, one
that's the one that's
going
to go down. Yeah, this is great. Jack, and then Jason.
There's another way of looking at the whole picture.
No.
You have all these things that have taken place in Houston, Texas, and Florida, and Katrina way back when. But this storm drives home the fact that we're not exempt up here from experiencing the same tragedy that's taking place around the country. We're not exempt. Sometimes we take things for granted. But this drives home. A shot across the bow makes you want to think.
Great, great point. See, this is fantastic, Jason.
Two things I told my kids when we were out looking at the damage, showing them, like Chris said, look how it fell. This is not how trees usually fell. It fell because what gets you is usually where you're not paying attention. And I remember my dad saying, always watch your back, because what's going to get you, you don't even see coming.
Yeah.
The other thing is in a forest, in order for new trees to grow and mature, the older trees have to fall. So the older trees have protected or shaded, the new growth. Now, new growth can't take off and mature until the older trees have fallen. I was thinking of my family on the flight back, putting my dad in a nursing home. We've lost mom, we've lost my aunt. Dad's fading fast, and I'm not saying I by any means mature, but you definitely take a new look on life and have grown as a person, both in the Lord, and because you have to. I'm no longer protected by the elders over me. Now it's my turn to do that with my kids until I get blown over.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they've grown strong underneath me, and they'll take their spot in the world.
I am just so excited with all of this. One person, this is what's good about body ministry. One person can't think of all of these different aspects. What?
I have a comment.
All right. Oh, okay. Reggie.
Yeah, just got one more thing. That
you already went.
I know. with this storm, how many times have we heard that there's going to be a northeaster going on, Jack?
Yes, right.
How many times have we heard that there's going to be a northeaster, right? So we've heard that our whole lives, right? How many northeasters have we gone through? And yet we just kind of took it for granted that we're going to get heavy rain, we're going to get a little wind, and then everything's going to be back to normal like it always is, right?
Yeah.
And there was a lack of preparation is what happened there, right?
Yeah.
People without power, some still without it today, not that many, but still for days, right?
Yeah.
And where was the preparation? Because we didn't really, we took it for granted, right?
Yes.
We just kind of said, well, here comes another northeaster, no big deal. Nobody said, listen, you're going to end up with all this water and there's going to be all this damage. And so therefore, be prepared, right? So when they have hurricanes down south, I mean, you sit back and you say, well, why did they stay, right? Why didn't they just leave? right? But in that case, they had some warning. They said, listen, there's going to be some heavy-duty rain and it's going to cause some major damage. We didn't really get those warnings this time, did we? It came in quick, right? So should we not be prepared, even though we think that we're safe? I mean, we need to, God's been telling us for a long time. I mean, in this church, we've heard this a million times. I mean, Melvin said it. I mean, everybody said it. We've got to be prepared. We've got to be better prepared than what we are now. Because things are coming down the road that are going to catch us by surprise. And this storm caught us by surprise.
And if this is a warning, if this is a warning to us, that this storm is to wake us up to, hey, you know, we should be better prepared for things that could possibly come on. Ronnie's had his hand up.
I noticed too that there's some trees that are more resistant to wind than others.
Yeah.
But I noticed a lot of big, strong trees even broke. You know, you can be strong in the Lord.
Yeah.
And you know, but. You can, you know,
yeah,
it's not there all the time.
Right.
Still
you can, there's still that possibility of that happening, which is going to bring me to my next point once Nietzsche says.
So what I was going to say is I've been through a lot of storms, and I lived in Puerto Rico, so that's like a yearly thing. And
yeah.
I went through two big ones, none like the one that just passed, but I went through two big ones. When Will was a baby and when Raul was a baby. And I was talking about this last week, how some of the trees would go completely down and come back up. And I think we have to be flexible to the changes the Lord has for us. And another thing, we shouldn't think we're that prepared because we're never prepared enough. We were talking about the storm Wednesday in Bible study.
Yep.
I didn't even lose breath. Guess his mom hasn't gone to the attic. No, yesterday. I go upstairs and in one of the rooms, part of the thing came off, or like whatever that is, and there was a lot of water that came through.
Oh.
The water, so there was a mess up there, a whole bunch of things that I had to throw away, which doesn't really affect me, but how you think,
everything's fine.
Yeah, everything's fine. And then even in Puerto Rico, I mean, Jenna's grandmother, almost every house is gone except for two.
Mm-hmm.
And one is hers. And this is a woman that she is a Christian, but she is the living Bible. She is the walking living Bible. That's her. And you think about, they were prepared for the storm, a lot of them, but then tornadoes hit and uprooted a whole section, whole sections that they weren't expecting. So we get too comfortable, like you were saying. We think we're prepared for what's to come, and we're not. So we have to be careful. But I think that, like I said, I've seen those trees. I've seen them before.
They come all the way down.
So are we allowing God to?
Yeah, we need to be flexible.
We have to
be able to. Crystal?
Yeah, I don't know quite how to verbalize what's in my head. I'm going to try. So you have something in the future that you know you're going to have to face. So what do you want to do? You want to pray. You want to get prepared. You want to be proactive and pray. Pray it up.
Yeah.
A big decision you're going to make. Well, the same is true for, we had an 80-foot tree cut down in our backyard before it could do damage. We noticed the roots were starting to be exposed. It's an 80-feet tall pine tree. It's going to land on our house. There's no doubt about it. So we had it cut down. We had Davis tree come and cut it down.
Yes.
I think Dan Edman worked in my yard that afternoon.
So that's another aspect that we could miss on in what we can learn out of some natural situation like this. This has been excellent. All kinds of different points are made here for us to think about and then to apply to our own lives and to apply to this whole thing about preparation, which is always, since 5 years ago or more, has been in the back of my mind and heart that I feel God continually pressing for us to be ready. Be ready for things like this, but also for the grand things that are coming up, who knows how far in the future. Mm-hmm. But it's very easy to put things off and not be mentally ready. And that's going to come through prayer and through trust in God and going through other experiences to be ready for bigger experiences that are going to be taking place. And we know if you read your Bible and you believe that the end time scenario of things is going to happen in the end times, and if we're in the foothills of the end times, we're right on the cusp of it all, then we know that these things are out in front of us, these things are going to happen, and we would want to be ready for that. So I think these are very, very important things that are happening and what we're speaking about here. Steve.
Sorry, Kyle. I have to say one more thing. The reason why I heard even now.
And Diane has something to say too. I see her hand going up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He doesn't have peripheral vision.
I'm losing my peripheral.
I got a different perspective. So.
I just want to say, and I think Glenn would let me use his name, but I know Glenn and Becky had a generator.
Oh, yeah.
And they got it out to use it, and it was all corroded because he hadn't used it for a long time. So he had to go to Berlin and get all the stuff to put back on so that he could get it to work.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to start this thing up every so many weeks.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, sure, you know, isn't that something? You have the stuff to help you. But you're not, it's not working.
Right. You think you're ready for that.
So what do you do to make it work? I mean, preparing. So that was his thing, you know, I got to prepare. I got to start this thing up regularly so it will run when I need it, you know. So that was a good scenario.
Yeah, that's
really
very good input too. Yeah, amen.
Oh, there's so many things, huh? I've got these two rock maples up on my pasture hill that sit in the middle of the field. And there's not a lot of moisture in that area. And those two trees are beaten and battered. They've got broken limbs, but they've never blown over.
Mm-hmm.
And they always have shoots coming up in the springtime.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, Monday night, we were actually looking forward to no power. The only thing I was concerned about is like 800 pounds of beef in my freezer.
Yeah.
I won't talk about the generator. That's something that I have to deal with. But anyway, so Monday night, we were all kind of like looking forward to no power.
Being quiet.
I have gravity-fed water. We have two wood stoves. I have a wood boiler. I need it. But it reminds me of going to my grandparents up where Chris and Heidi live now. They were the last people in the world to get power. And to go up there to spend time with them with the kerosene lanterns and stuff when I was a kid was like, so I mean, I look forward to that so much. So we were all excited, not excited, but you know, we were going to cook over the wood stove and we had all these plans and then the power came back.
Oh, God.
And, you know, sometimes I think if we rely on that too much, Sunday night is different, but like you have to talk to each other when there's no power, when there's no TVs.
You have to talk to each other.
And it's more intimate.
Yeah.
So sometimes the storm can benefit you.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up watching Monday Night Raw, Monday Night Football, the World Series, the Celtics and the Bruins, from 8:00 to 10:30. And I could have been, you know, we could have been reading with a kerosene lantern.
Yeah. I'm talking.
Name Bakeroff.
Yeah.
There are benefits to storms.
Yeah. Okay. If you would turn in your Bibles, I haven't told you that yet, have I?
No.
All right, so it's Matthew chapter 13, parable of the sower. Okay, this is where we're going to start off. Matthew 13, we're going to look at verses 20 and 21. It says this: but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that hears the word And immediately, he receives it with joy. Yet, it has no root in himself, but it endures for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by, he is offended. All right, so we see here that there's this situation that not having enough of a deeper root causes a person to fall away, to be offended, to be caused to stumble, it says. And so that whole thing of tribulation, which the storms of life, the persecution that can come, just the bad things that happen in life can cause people to say, I've had enough of Jesus. He's not coming through for me. You know. So, what is it about being rooted? And I asked the Lord to give me some scriptures that deals with that. And I'd like you to turn, I think we'll go first to the book of Colossians. So if you'll go to Colossians chapter 2. No, that isn't where I want you to go. That's the next place we're going to go to Luke 6 first. I'm sorry. Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, is that the end of the chapter? Now, this gives us a description as we read through about having the good roots. Here's what is said here, starting in verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say? Well, maybe we're not listening. Maybe we don't want to listen. Right? Maybe we're too busy with life to listen. Maybe we have our own ideas and our own point of view, and we're not going to be moved whatsoever. I don't care what is said to me. I'm doing what I want to do, because that's just the way it's going to be. Right? So then verse 47 says this, whosoever comes to me, so you got to go to him, and hears my sayings, and here's the key, and does them, yeah, I will show you who he is like. He is like a man that builds a house and digs it deep and lays the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house, it could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. But he that hears and doesn't do is like a man without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, if you look up the corollary scripture to that in Matthew chapter 7, which is talking about the same thing, it's talking about being rooted. So it's important that we understand we're talking about the same thing here, it's just the words are a little different. Just to point out, having ourselves built upon the rock is different than being rooted in little tiny stones, right? A roots can wrap around a huge rock and get quite a bit of a strength out of that, right? It's in the little tiny stones, the stony places. You don't get much root there, do you? So this is important here for us. And so one of the things is that we are really, We're not just saying it here when we're in church, but in our lives, day-to-day lives, that we really are seeking the Lord. And we're listening to what He has to say, and we're applying it into our life. That's letting the roots get deeper. Yeah? How many of us are there right now? Anybody want to put your hand up? Because I don't want to put my hand up. There's some room for some roots to grow deeper, isn't there? You know, the one thing about that one tree, Kathy and I were saying, it looked so strong and it looked so healthy. You know, we didn't expect it to fall over.
Especially when the one right beside it was rotted and it was kept standing.
Yeah, we don't understand that. Well, you know why? Because there was no leaves or branches on it that could catch the wind and knock it over. But you know, sometimes you could look at me and say, "Oh, well, Malcolm, you know, he preaches, so you know he's strong, he's going to be okay." And maybe there's something in my life that is rotting inside, or I say things, but I'm not doing it myself. I say things to you, but I'm not really pursuing it. If this is true, hopefully it's not. I'm going to fall. Just because I preach doesn't mean that these things aren't going to happen to me, right? All of us have to be careful. Just because somebody looks good doesn't mean that they're really doing the work they have to do inside, right? Because you know what? We can all look good to one another. We can come in here and say the right words and act the right way to one another, and then leave here and be a totally different kind of person. We can't we? And we all have been at certain times. And we want to minimize that as much as we can, and really get ourselves so that we're stable in Christ. We're not in Christ one moment and not even thinking about what's going on in the spirit realm the rest of the week, kind of thing. You know, it's important for us, isn't it? Okay. All right. Now I guess we can go to Colossians.
Malcolm, can I read a quick
note? Oh, sure, go ahead.
This is in my Bible, it's just a little side note. The root of unhealthy attitudes. Jesus said that every tree is known and identified by its fruit. Yeah. Imagining looking at a fruit tree that depicts all the bad things produced in the life of someone who is unhealthy emotionally. If you look at the roots of that person's life, you will see things like rejection, abuse, guilt, negativism, shame. If you have a problem with unhealthy attitudes in your life, they are the bitter fruit of what is rooted into your thinking. Mm. You may be the product of improper mirroring and imaging of your parents and others. You may suffer from bad example that you were exposed to in your earlier years. If parents, teachers, or other authority figures told you over and over in your youth that you were no good, that there was something wrong with you, that you couldn't do anything right, that you were worthless and you would never amount to anything, you actually may believe it. Satan reinforces that message by repeating it in your mind again and again until it becomes such a part of your self-image that you actually become on the outside the way you envision yourself inside. It has been proven that if people believe something about themselves strongly enough, they will actually begin to behave that way they perceive themselves to be. But I have good news. Your mind can be renewed by the Word of God. This does not happen instantly, but it is possible with the help of the Holy Spirit. God wants you to bear good fruit. He wants to help you do so by replacing the bad roots with good roots as you meditate on His Word. Jesus invites us to be rooted and grounded in Him as His love.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. I know when Kathy would say something very uplifting to me, and I never saw myself in that light before. You know, I wanted her to see that reflected back. I mean, she was already seeing something that I didn't see in myself. You know, that kind of feedback, being rooted in the good things, really can help you to actually accomplish those very things because how other people in Christ see it. Now, let me read you this scripture. Did somebody have a hand up? Okay. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 says this. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And then it says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. To me, this goes back to what Reggie said about, you know, when you're surrounded by a bunch of strong, tall trees, you get protected. There's a corporate faith that when we come in here, sometimes don't you feel like, oh wow, I feel so much better. You know, just being around the other members of the body of Christ does something for you. And does something for me. You know? Even if I don't even get a chance to talk to you, sometimes just seeing you in the room encourages me. Right? And when we do get a chance to talk, I usually get something I need from people. You know? And this is really important. We're, you know, to be rooted and built up in him, established in our faith. We need that. We need that. That faith talk. You know, the things in the Word of God that is going to be that rhema, that's going to be the right thing for you and I right now. The thing that's going to encourage us. The thing that's going to smack us on the hiney and say, "Wake up! You know, come on. You know, you want me more than you want that thing in this life." Turn around, right? Turn around, and so God does all those things as a good and as a good father, as a faithful father to us. Isn't that who he is? You know, and so this is another thing that I think is important for our rooting is that we make sure that we're making contact with other people in the faith, right? It gets a little lonely out there if you're not making the contact with good, strong Christian people. Okay, I think I have one more. Oh, yeah. I got three more. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 3. I know people have said this about our church. We've said this about one another, but we don't ever want to get too big-headed about this. This is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, because I'll tell you what, we have a long way to go when it comes to this too. Okay, this is what it says. Verse 17, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in what?
Love.
Love. Real love. God's love. Right? I think we do want to love one another. I think we would sacrifice. There's not one person that's sitting in here that I wouldn't sacrifice something for you. And I know that you would be that way with me.
And are.
There's lots of things where people have reached out to other people in this church and have helped them out, right? Mm-hmm. And so I want us to be encouraged there. That's a good thing. Because that helps us to root ourselves in Christ that much more.
It's just amazing. It's amazing, like, out in the real world, I have more contact with people on a daily basis. But if I was in a situation where I needed something, even though I have more contact with them, and I have very little contact during the week with most of you, the people I would turn to would be you. Because I trust in that so much more, and I know where your faith and heart is. That's what this church body does, you know. Yes. That's versus the real world. I mean, I it's just amazing. It's just,
me too.
And that's a true statement.
Yeah, me too. All right, I'm going to conclude. I'm going to skip a couple things here, because I feel like this is going to finish this. Psalm 32. All of the different storms of life, all of the different kinds of trouble that we have, we want to root ourselves deeply, and I think this kind of sums this all up as well, because we really can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ now. We really can. And this is what it says. I'm going to read it from verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto you in a time when you may be found. Surely in the floods of great waters, they will not come close unto him. You are my hiding place. You will preserve me from trouble. You will encompass me about with songs of deliverance. You know, we can trust in that, can't we? That doesn't mean that we're not going to experience these things. In the flood of waters, it happens. The storms of life happen. But it isn't something that's going to destroy us. We're going to find that place of peace. We will have that realm of grace that supplies the ability to go through anything. We're going to have that. That's exciting.
Amen.
Wait until it happens. And then you'll go, oh, thank you, God. Now, we might not be able to thank God right now because we've lived a very cushy kind of life here in America. You know? But when things start moving in a different kind of direction, we are going to be so thankful to God that He has provided a way for us. And I'll get back to this. The sooner our heads are placed in the right direction and we are more and more experienced with that trust in God, with that preparing our hearts and minds for the storms of life, and we're learning how to really trust Him the right way, really turn ourselves from the things that would pull us away from Him. Yeah? Mm-hmm. That's a big thing, isn't it? God says our sins are what keeps us away from Him. We can't have a deep relationship with God if we're just out there just doing our own thing all the time. You know that? So it's important for us to really be careful about that. To be careful about that. You know? You want to hear from God better? How many of us want to hear from the Lord better? I sure do. I want to know. I want to be able to hear it right off the bat instead of, is that God or is that, or is that just me? Mm-hmm. You know? How many of, I mean, every single one of us go through that, don't we?
Yeah.
So you know what? There are things that we can do, and God will open up things to us, and we're going to be able to hear, and He's going to deliver us. There's songs of deliverance for us. Songs of deliverance. It's going to be sung. It's going to come out of the depth and joy of our heart. When God gives us the answers to the things that we've been crying out for. And He's going to give that to us as we allow the roots to go deeper, as we desire that. I mean, that's the first thing I've had to do. God, I want to desire that. Because I don't think I desire it the way I need to. So help me with that, God. And when I pray that way, I'm not praying thinking, well, maybe He won't do it. No, I know He's going to do it. If I ask, He's going to give. Amen. You have not because you ask not. You know? Mm-hmm. So if I ask things of God, I have to go to Him, and I have to believe that He's an answerer of of my requests. Yeah, now I'm gonna get his answer. It might not be what I want, but he's gonna answer me. And it's gonna be the right thing and the good thing. Right?
Yes.
So Lord, I just pray that we would be people. God, I don't want this just to be words of a prayer. I want this to be from our hearts a real desire, Lord, that we would be rooted and grounded in love and faith in listening to your word and wanting your word, the word of truth, to just live on us and come forth in us. And Lord, that we could be lights in this dark world that's going more and more to hell. God, help us. Help us to be strong in you and be who you have called us to be, that we fulfill all those good works that you've planned for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Rooted and grounded in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Amen.